Welcome to Serviced Accommodation Secrets with me, Sally Kemba. This is the podcast where you get the on-the-ground experience that we're living and breathing with our serviced accommodation units. So you get to share our hacks and tips, our mistakes, so you can learn from those and thrive on our success. Welcome to this episode of Serviced Accommodation Secrets with me, Sally Kemba. And this is an introduction to serviced accommodation and also to me as a serviced accommodation operator and what I'm looking to help you with this podcast. So you may have heard all about SA and how great it is. So serviced accommodation, known as SA, both as a guest staying there and also for making money and creating cash flow. Maybe you're looking for training on how to run serviced accommodation. Maybe you've had training already and you know quite a bit. So what I'm going to do in this podcast, which I'm really grateful for you joining me, is to just explain a little bit about what I'm doing. As you'll gather from the intro, I have done some training quite extensively with Progressive. Initially a masterclass, which was 2 days, and then a 6-month mastermind with Progressive when Paul and Annika Smith were involved with Progressive. And that was really valuable, all of it, both in terms of practical advice, examples, because the guys there, the mentors, as well as Paul and Annika, were running and are running serviced accommodation in various forms. And we learned, so it's my husband and myself run our business, we learned so much about serviced accommodation. We were able to create our own vision and our strategy plan for our business and really get started and stuck into it about a year ago, just over a year ago. But one of the things that I found was actually quite a challenge, and I am learning all the time, is that there's a huge gap between the theory and then when you actually come to do it live with your property, with your guests arriving, and all the parts to the business, because there are many. And so the idea of Serviced Accommodation Secrets is to help you with all the different stages. And in this podcast, I'm going to summarize various areas of the business. So starting out with what actually is serviced accommodation and how it's great for the guests, the value you're offering, how it's great for the property owner, which may be you, and how it's great for the serviced accommodation operator, which may also be you, or you may be offering a management company and service to a property owner, and there are various structures that you can have. So really, I'm going to introduce the benefits of that and then go through the different areas of serviced accommodation that I'll be going into in more detail in future podcasts, because it will be aspects of the business, but also a commentary on what we've got going on, because we're living and breathing serviced accommodation at the moment currently, and we're systemizing more and more, but we're still at the front end. And so we've got a lot of things to share with you and you can benefit from. Okay, so let's get started. So, serviced accommodation, what is it? It's like Airbnb for corporates, for what we run in our business. So we do also get tourists, so they are Airbnb visitors and booking.com as well, and we're on other online portals. But essentially, our target market is corporate guests. And that is because where we are in Redhill in Surrey, we have lots of companies who have people returning for business and their work. So essentially, it's a short stay accommodation, not as long as an assured short hold tenancy agreement, which is a minimum of 6 months. But that doesn't mean to say that guests can't stay longer than 6 months, because it may be that they stay for a few months and have a little break and go away and have to come back. And, you know, you may be able to extend the stay. You may also have companies who want to book your accommodation for various different members of staff that come. So in that case, you can have longer term bookings, longer than 6 months, but you never have tenants. So let's have a look at the areas of value for all three parties. So starting with guests, the value that you're offering is a guest has a whole apartment or house to themselves or with their colleagues possibly, instead of just the four walls of a hotel room. And so they get a real home from home there. Because hotels are very isolating, aren't they? So, you know, you're in your room, or you go down to breakfast or dinner, or you go out, but you're kind of on your own. Whereas in a whole apartment, it's a bit like a hotel suite, because you can spread out, you can go out to eat, you can cook, you know, it's whatever you want to do, but you've got that freedom to relax as a guest. And they'll be staying in an amazing place that's beautifully furnished, kept in amazing condition, really top-notch condition, has to be immaculate because it has to be perfect for every guest who arrives. And it's fully serviced like a hotel, so fresh linen, usually on a weekly basis, or mid-clean of a 10-day clean we do as well. And they'll receive welcome packs, so that will be some tea, coffee. Potentially, you'll do things like cereal or fruit as well. It's up to you. Maybe in bread and milk, we do as well. And so they get a nightly rate for that rather than a rent. And they haven't got any hassle with bills. You know, they haven't got to set up any of that like they would if they were renting for 6 months. All the cleaning is done. Everything's scheduled. So they don't have to worry about all of that. They don't have to go around reading meters and things. And it's a short-term stay, so it fulfills a short-term need. So whether, as I was mentioning, it's like Airbnb, but for corporates. So clients might be here on business. They might have short-term projects or training. They might be relocating. So we've had people come from India who are coming to work for a year, and they stay with us initially while they find somewhere to live. Also, estate agents may have house buyers who have completed on their property, but they haven't been able to move yet, or they may have emergencies in the property for their actual tenants. That's the estate agent. So all sorts of short-term needs for accommodation. And there are no tenancy agreements for the guest. They don't have any complicated agreements to tie into. They just have a standard terms and conditions to sign with us, just like you would in a hotel, just to sign that. But nothing tied in for a long period. It's literally just like a hotel. And they can have help with their travel arrangements and any other services that you decide to offer. So we can do taxi shuttle services for guests, that kind of thing. And that really helps them out and helps them to find their way around, because often they're in a new place they've never been to before. So it just helps them settle. And from the point of view as a service accommodation operator or service accommodation management company, you're going to be supplying a great service to that guest that helps them to settle in to an unfamiliar place. So the benefits for the property owner or freeholder of property. So we don't own the places that we offer our serviced accommodation. We have 3 one-bed apartments at the moment, and we have 2-bed apartments too. And our landlords are the freeholders who actually developed the site and finished building the apartments just over a year ago. So we're rent to rent with a guaranteed rent. You may be a property owner who is deciding to also run serviced accommodation in your property. So if you are the property owner, or like our freeholders, the benefits to you is you are able to provide a valuable service to guests, both long-term and short-term. You're having the opportunity to create amazing living spaces. In terms of money, so if you self-manage as serviced accommodation, you have a cash-flowing business. It's higher than what you'd get in assured short-hold tenancy agreements, rent-to-rent. So you're getting a maximum return on your investment. Your income's likely to be 3 times that of a single let, I would say. The overheads are high, and the operating time also is quite, you know, involved and time consuming, but you do have a maximum return on your property. You're providing work for your community, whether that's property managers if you outsource your SA operation and their teams, but also their cleaning teams locally, maintenance people. Your property is maintained to a very high standard, really important. So it's beautifully furnished, kept in A1 condition. Everything looks fantastic and it's fixed really quickly, as it has to be up and running for the guests. You don't have any voids whatsoever. So if you have a guaranteed rent agreement, if you're the property owner, so if you have people like myself and my husband, we have a guaranteed rent agreement with the freeholder, so they have no voids whatsoever. And that's really, really valuable to a property owner. If you actually have somebody else managing your property, you still have maximum return on your property, but you will have to pay out for them to do that management, but they are doing that work for you. So think in terms of, do you want to have a job or, you know, an extra service business who you're running, or do you want somebody else to do that for you? So that's what we do for our landlords. And as a property owner, there are tax benefits as well. As you're running a business in your property, it's not a residential property in that case. Although there are people staying there, it's not their main residence. So you're running service accommodation as a business, which means you can pay business rates instead of council tax, which is usually less. In our experience, it certainly is. You don't have to suffer the effects of Section 24 because, again, it's a business, not residential. If you buy and change the class of the property before you exchange contracts to C1 commercial, then commercial stamp duty applies instead of a second residential property. And that is going to save you a lot of money. And you can potentially get capital allowances as well on your property. And so the third person involved, so we've already had the guest and we've had the property owner. So next we've got the service accommodation operator. So I'm speaking as one myself. And as I've mentioned, we're rent to rent to a freeholder and we guarantee rent. But you might also be a management company managing the property as service accommodation for that owner. And the great thing that you're doing is providing a valuable service to guests long term or short term, because long term, it's not their main place of living. You know, they might go home at weekends or at certain times in the year, but they may have quite a long contract and need to keep coming back. Or it might just be as short as 2 nights. Depends on the minimum you set. You have the opportunity to create amazing living spaces for people. Some wonderful, wonderful interior design and beautiful buildings. So money, obviously, if you're managing serviced accommodation, you have a cash flowing business and you will make more money than in an assured short hold tenancy agreement in terms of rent to rent, because the income is likely to be 3 times that of a single let in our experience. Obviously, the overheads are higher and it's time consuming doing the operations, but you are having a higher revenue there, and systemizing the business reduces the amount of time involved. And you're also providing work for the community. So that can be your team, supervisors, housekeepers, maintenance people as well. So how does this all work? If you're looking to set up your service accommodation business, maybe you've done training and you want to self-manage, maybe you have a property, or maybe you're looking for rent to rent properties, the main thing to do in the very beginning is to have a vision for your business. What do you want to achieve? How will you go about it? So you're going to create your vision, plan your business, set it up and manage it. So I've got 12 bullet points really to really think about, and I'll be going into in a lot of detail in different podcasts. But just to go through this list now, starting out in the very beginning, you think about your vision. What do you actually want to be offering? What kind of property are you going to look for and where? So research your area is the first point, and decide on your target market. Do your due diligence on the area and the demand. So what local amenities have you got there? You know, railway station, transport links, parking, roads, and the demand. So have you got companies in the area who have short-term projects, have staff they need to stay there? Have you got hospitals with doctors and nurses and other professionals? You know, is there demand in your area? That's the first thing. Second thing, finance. You need to have the money to set up a serviced apartment or house. And that can be quite substantial. Some of it you can organise on a lease, things like furniture and electricals. But you will still need that initial money to set up the accommodation. And you need to make sure it's viable. You need to do a business plan and work out how it's actually going to work, the money that you project will come in and go out. So do a cash flow forecast. Think about how you're going to take payments. You know, are you going to ask for money up front? Are you going to set up Stripe to receive credit card payments? We use Stripe very successfully. It's actually very good. But there are others that you can use, Worldpay, PayPal. Number three, so acquire the property. So once you've researched your area, worked out your target market, and you find property or you go in search of property, you need to agree terms. So are you going to buy property? Are you going to have a rent-to-rent agreement with a freeholder, a landlord? And make sure you actually have the correct agreements in place. Think about utilities, think about broadband, which is really absolutely vital, obviously, in this day and age, more important than water. Number four is to ensure compliance. So if you are looking to do rent-to-rent in an apartment, for example, in a block, or even if you are the owner, you have a leasehold on an apartment, you really need to make sure that your lease actually allows short-term lets and serviced accommodation. Because if you violate your lease, even if, you know, it's like it is ownership of the lease of that property, you can actually be contravening that lease and breaching it, and you can actually be evicted for doing it. So you must make sure you're allowed to do it, and you must make sure that you get any changes made and agreed with the freeholder. Also, make sure your lender's happy if your property isn't unencumbered. And if you're doing rent to rent, make sure that your landlord has permission from his or her lender. Make sure the councils will allow it as well, and that you don't have to change anything there, get any permissions. Or some councils have different ideas about this because it's quite new. You need to make sure how the land lies with them. Make sure you're insured as well. You've got all the correct insurances for your property, your business, and you working in it. Make sure you've got data protection, you're compliant with GDPR as well. Make sure you've got a fire risk assessment done. And it's a really good idea to be a member of a property redress scheme too. So make sure you're fully compliant. Those are a few things to consider. Fifth thing, so advertise, marketing. Local demand you can assess, contact companies, but make sure you get on the online travel agents, especially booking.com, because you get reviews on there, you can be seen. And even if you have your own website, it's really important. They have so many visitors to their site, so you need to be on there. We've had direct bookings. People have found us there, seen the reviews, and then contacted us directly because we've got good reviews. So really vital. If you're setting up a property, advertise early. That's another thing to say about that. You need to think about the systems that you need. So you'll need a channel manager, which basically ensures that you don't get double bookings, because you might get a direct booking, but you also might get somebody booking on booking.com and Airbnb or HomeAway, any other portals all at once. And you need to make sure you've got availability in your property and you won't have a double booking. So that helps you with that. And also any management software that you need for your guests. So our channel manager, Takeet, has a whole automated series of emails that we send out. But also we're looking to expand our systemization. So we're taking on things like Slack and Trello and other things that will all link together so that we don't have to be the single point that everybody has to contact. So currently I have a spreadsheet which takes a lot of maintenance. So I'm looking to extend that out into a whole systemized business and you want to make sure that what you're doing is working on your business and not just in it with a new job, because it is very time consuming otherwise. And you want to work out how you're going to manage your property, you know, who's in your team, what is your process, how's it going to work? Make sure you've got cleaners coming in at the right time and guest checkout, right time of day, so it's ready for the guests. So you need to get all that prepared. And once you've got your property all agreed and everything, you plan how to set it up. So what are you going to furnish it with? Have an inventory as well. Make sure you stick to a budget and prepare to accept guests. Get your linen organized, get fully equipped in your kitchen, have all your decor to make it look fantastic and have a great atmosphere as well. And once you've done that, I think I've got to point number 9 now, get your professional photos done. So by all means, take them on your iPhone and everything, but get professional photos because they make a world of difference as well. And that's awesome. So once you're up and ready, your guests will arrive and stay. And then you'll have all your post-stay activities you need to do. So that's number 11. So think about reviews and preparing for the next guest, scheduling everything in. And then your next guest will arrive. And so it goes on. And then you're up and running and it just keeps on going with all your guest messages you need to send out, your invoices you need to send and monies to collect, you know, checking that your rates are suitable for the market. There's lots and lots to focus on. And as I said, I'm looking to help with the gap between your initial training and the theory and the reality of running serviced accommodation. So anything that you want to ask or contribute to in my Serviced Accommodation Secrets Facebook group, please go there and post any questions that you have or any challenges or any thoughts that you've got. But this has been an introduction to serviced accommodation and what it's all about and an initial viewpoints about what it takes to start setting it up, the benefits to the guests. So that's the value that you're offering, the benefits to the property owner or freeholder, and the benefits to you as the operator or management company. So I look forward to seeing you in all the future episodes. And do send in questions and comments to me. And I really look forward to helping you on your journey and maybe meeting you too. So thanks very much. Sharing the secrets of success.